quarter 2023 earnings conference call. Joining us today from Lima, Peru, are Mr. Tulio Silvado, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Ricardo Guzmán, Chief Financial Officer and IRO. Today, they will be discussing Aceros Arequipa third quarter 2021 results, as per the press release reissued by the company on October 22. Please note that all lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation is finished, we will open the floor for a Q&A session with the management. At that moment, further instruction will be given for the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. Please be advised that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. If you are a member of the media and wish to direct any questions to the company, please contact the company directly after the call. For a copy of the earnings report or the webcast presentation that accompanies this call, please visit the company's website. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company performance, or financial results. As such, these forward-looking statements are based in several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. Thus, we ask that you refer to the disclaimer located in the earnings release prior to making any investment decision. It's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Tulio Silvado, Chief Executive Officer of Aceros Arequipa, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Tulio, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you all for joining us today to comment on Aceros Arequipa third quarter 2021 figures. Let's begin by reviewing today's agenda in slide number 2. Our presentation will begin by commenting on some of the recent relevant events. Next, I will briefly review our consolidated results. Afterwards, I will pass the floor to Ricardo Guzmán, our CFO and IRO, who will discuss operational and financial performance. Finally, we will be providing our updated guidance for the full year 2021 prior to the question and answer session. Let's move to slide number 3 to comment on some of the recent relevant events. In July, the company acquired the assets of two scrap yards in the state of Florida in the United States. We expected to buy from these yards 100,000 tons of scrap metal a year for our own consumption. This acquisition was executed through two recently created subsidiaries in that country, Aceros América Port Manatí and Aceros América San Pete. With this investment, we accomplished an optional step in strengthening our vertical integration strategy by partly securing the scrap needs of our new melt shop in Pisco. In August, Aceros Arequipa started commercial operation in Colombia through Colombian subsidiary, Aceros América. Additionally, during the quarter, the company invested PEN 62 million as part of the construction of its upcoming new melt shop facility. This new facility partially started operation during the quarter, and we expected it to be fully implemented before the end of this quarter. In September, the board of directors approved an additional dividend payment of $18 million, which was paid on September 24. This dividend payment was approved as an advance following the company dividend policy. Finally, during the quarter, the company and gas supplier Contugas reached an agreement on the legal dispute they were engaged on. With this agreement, the company registered a one-time loss on its EBITDA of about $27 million, an expected monthly cost reduction of about $500,000. On the other hand, the company made a one-time payment of $26.4 million and agreed to 3-year payment of about $13 million. Now, please, let's turn to slide number 4 for a quick look into our financial results. Please note that all figures are unaudited, on a consolidated basis. Additionally, any growth rates presented will be year over year unless stated otherwise. During the third quarter 2021, revenue continued to increase and was 55% higher year over year. Profitability results were also above comparative figures of 2020, as revenue for the quarter was also driven by higher average selling prices and volume, as well as the effect of the settlement with the gas supplier. Consequently, EBITDA and net profit show a significant improvement. During the quarter, CapEx reached 248 million soles, mainly driven by the acquisition of the scrap yard assets in the United States, a new melt shop facility. As of the end of September 21, working capital requirements were higher, mainly due to higher inventories and receivables and lower accounts payables. Consequently, consolidated net debt doubled, mainly due to higher short-term debts. Now, I will let you turn the floor to Ricardo Guzman, our CFO and IRO, who will further discuss financial performance for the quarter. Ricardo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Tulio. Good afternoon to everyone, and thank you again for joining us today. Please, slide number 6 for a review of our consolidated revenue performance. During the quarter, the consolidated revenue jumped to 1.4 billion, driven by both higher prices and volume. The revenue increase was experienced by both domestic and export revenues. During the quarter, export revenues, for which the Bolivian market continued to be the main destination, represented 11% of the total consolidated revenue, compared to 20% in the third quarter of 2020 that considered a one-time export of billets to China. On a per-product basis, all product categories experienced an increase in revenue. Revenue of rebars and wire rods, other products and merchant bars categories jumped by 398 million, 60 million, and 42 million soles respectively. Finally, revenue figures for the year to date also rose significantly with an increase of 2 billion soles or 111% year over year. Now let's move to slide number 7 to discuss our profitability measures. Gross profit for the period reached 368 million soles, 176 million above the figures of the third quarter of 2020. Profit was boosted by higher sales volume and higher average selling prices, contributing to a jump in gross margin from 21% during the third quarter of 2020 to 26% during this quarter. Moreover, EBITDA for the quarter jumped 370 million soles, a 220 million soles increase compared to that of the third quarter of 2020, while EBITDA margin reached 26% or 9.8 percentage points above the margin reached in the third quarter of 2020. On a year-to-date perspective, both gross profit and EBITDA were well above the comparative period of 2020 by 755 and 706 million respectively. Now, let's take a closer look to the drivers of the EBITDA increase on slide number 8. As we commented earlier, EBITDA for the quarter was 370 million, 220 million higher compared to that of the third quarter of 2020, mainly driven by a 179 million increase in gross profit and the positive effect of other net operating income boosted by the settlement with a gas supplier and the export of a production byproduct. EBITDA increased despite higher SG&A expenses, including depreciation and amortization, by 33 million. The SG&A, excluding depreciation and amortization, increased mainly due to higher personal expenses, third-party expenses, and allowances for doubtful accounts. SG&A, excluding depreciation and amortization, as a percentage of revenue, reached 6.2% compared to 6% as of the third quarter of 2020. EBITDA margin reached 26%, 9.8 percentage points above the comparative figure during the third quarter of 2020, following a higher gross margin and a positive net operating income as a percentage of revenue. Finally, EBITDA for year to date was 932 million, which was over 4 times above the figure of the year-to-date 2020. Now let's move to slide number 9 to comment on this quarter's net profit. During the third quarter of 2021, net profit was 245 million soles, 162 million higher year over year, mainly as a result of a higher operating profit by 236 million and a positive currency exchange differences of 11 million, which were partially offset by a higher income tax by 89 million. Finally, the net profit for year to date reached 610 million, which was 527 million above the figure of year to date 2020. Let's move now to slide number 10 to discuss our debt metrics. As of September 2021, the total financial debt was 2.3 billion, 1.1 billion higher than that as of December 2020. This was mainly due to higher short-term debt, which reached 1.2 billion, in line with increasing working capital requirements. The debt balance for the new melt shop increased to 788 million. Consolidated net financial debt increased by 1.2 billion soles compared to that as of December 2020 and reached 1.8 billion as total debt was higher. Despite a higher net financial debt, the consolidated net financial debt to EBITDA ratio only increased to 1.6 times from 1.3 times registered as of December 2020. As of September of 2021, 56% of our total debt was denominated in soles, 44% in US dollars, and 0.1% in bolivianos. Now let's move to slide number 11 to discuss our working capital and CapEx. As of September 2021, operating working capital, which excludes cash available for sale assets and financial liabilities, increased to 1.7 billion, mainly driven by a 993 million increase in inventories, higher receivables, and lower account payables, respectively. Collections registered 49 days of sales outstanding versus 64 days as of December 2020. Days payable were 63, lower than 128 as of December 2020, mainly due to the gas supplier settlement. Let's now take a look at the CapEx. During the quarter, CapEx was 248 million, mostly consisting of the purchase of 2 scrap yards in the US, 62 million from invested allocated toward the construction of the new melt shop, of which 44 were financed through the financial lease and scheduled improvements for our rolling mill. Now, let's turn to slide number 12 to discuss cash flow. As of September 2021, total cash was 568 million, a decrease of 19% versus December 2020. Cash flow from operation was negative 546 million, mainly explained by higher working capital requirements. Cash flow from investing was negative 357 million, mainly due to investments in the acquisition of the 2 scrap yards in the US, the acquisition of Comfort for 64 million, and investments in property, plant, and equipment of 184 million. These were partially offset by the 45 million cash balance of Comfort after the acquisition. Cash flow from financing was 726 million, which included net financing of 967 million, dividend payments of 330 million, financing of 106 million from our gas supplier, and interest payments of 17 million. It's important to point out that the capital leasing agreement of our new melt shop is not included in the cash flow from finance. Now, let's turn to slide 13 to comment on our updated guidance for the year 2021. We expect our revenues growth estimates for the full year to be above 70%, and we expect EBITDA to be above 1.1 billion soles. The CapEx target for the year is expected to be between 600 to 650 million soles, subject to the appropriate board approvals. Consequently, dividend paid during the 2021 are expected to be 330 million, while the earnings per share ratio is expected to be higher than 0.65 soles. Thank you for your attention. This concludes our presentation. We are looking forward to answering all your questions. So at this point, we can move to the Q&A session of this presentation. Moderator, please go ahead.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please message the host through Zoom chat and your microphone will be unmuted. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If you would like to ask a question, please send us a text message through the Zoom chat, please. We have a question from Philip Curry. Philip, please go ahead.
Tulio, Ricardo, thank you very much. And well done as always. Would be grateful for your insight into market conditions in Q4, given that we've already seen we're already a month into Q4, from where we stand today, how you see 2022.
Hi, yes, we expect that several about the same volumes in this quarter. Because we have an important backlog of orders, especially in works that we won in the north of the country. And for next year, we expect about the same volumes.
And what do you expect with pricing and also the cost of scrap for 2022?
That's a good question. We have no idea really what will happen here about the cost of the scrap, no? Because it depends on the international markets. But as we know right now, for the coming months, the scrap is increasing prices again. No? But who knows what will happen then? We have no idea. By the moment, prices are going up by the moment for the next 3 months.
And in terms of the new melt shop, is it performing as expected, on schedule?
Yes, it is. We expect to finish the ramp up in the coming days, probably, or 1 month more, no more than that. Right now, we are producing 80% in the new melt shop and 20% in the old one. And we expect to finish this job in 1 month, probably.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Philip. We have another question from Cesar Romero. Cesar Romero, please go ahead.
Hello, Tulio and Ricardo. Thanks for the results. It's been a good quarter. Congratulations on that. I have two simple questions. The first one is if increasing prices is due to inflation, and is it expected to continue growing? That was a good answer. And the second one is, are the two acquisitions in the U.S. fully in supplying the necessity of the scrap metal from the company in the year ahead, 2022? Thanks.
Ricardo?
Yes. Well, with respect to prices, it depends on the category. We expect increases in tubes and plates. In rebars, unless Tulio, you think different, we expect to maintain. The second question about the US, I quite didn't hear you. Can you repeat the question about the scrap in the US?
Yeah, the second question is if the two acquisitions are fully supplying the necessity of the scrap metal that the company needs for the year ahead, 2022.
No, we need more scrap. We need more scrap to be imported from the state from another suppliers. Hmm?
Yes, our capacity of the mill shop is 1.2 million and the scrap yards that we bought in the US, we expect to buy from them 100,000 tons.
That represents around 8% of the scrap we needed. The rest of the scrap has been provided by our local suppliers in Peru, mainly 40%. We have a scrap yards in Bolivia, in Chile, that's helped us a little bit, but we need to import more scrap from the States.
Okay, thank you for your answer.
Yes, these two yards that we bought is our first step in the US. We're getting to know the market there, and well, we still look for opportunities, but for now, we are concentrating in operating this new yard and getting the 100,000 tons of supply from that operation.
For you to have an idea, we need at least a 500,000 tons more, hmm, of scrap imported from the States.
Okay, thanks for the answer.
Okay,
thank you.
I have another question from Carlos Caraza. He just typed it. He has two questions. One, regarding the gross margin, do you see these levels as reliable for the next periods? Do you have any price path for steel? The new melt shop will reduce costs in some measure. And the second question, could you offer any extra detail about short-term debt taken by the company?
Julio, if you want, I can go ahead with the second one for now. And Belisario, you have to repeat the first one.
The first one, I get the first one in part as the, we are not providing guidance for next year because we cannot give you more details, but remember that the new melt shop will allow us not to import billets. Last year, 2021, we imported around 250 tons, thousands of billets to our operation. The new melt shop will avoid that. And we have an important spread between the billets produced and the billets imported. For that reason, we expected to have a good year next year.
With respect of the second question about the short-term debt, those needs has been triggered by different factors. The first one is price increases. As prices increase, if I buy the same amount or the same volume, I will have to need more investment in working capital. So prices has gone up, sales and has gone up, and that means that our inventory must go up to support that increase in sales. Third, we have taken into the operation of Aceros Arequipa what were the working capital requirements of Comfort and Comasa. And those operations has been centered in Aceros Arequipa. But basically, what has, on a consolidated basis, what has made us to increase our financial needs are volume and prices. Because all our short-term debt is to finance a letter of credits. No, also, all our short-term debt is a letter of credit financing of the imports. I hope that answered your question.
If anybody wants to ask another question, please send a text message through the Zoom chat, please. It appears that there are no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Silgado for closing remarks.
Thank you, Elisario. Thank you all for your joining us today. You are welcome to join us in our fourth quarter 2021 call in January to continue to discuss Aceros Arequipa results. Thank you.